is, I think there is a praise in the house. So I won't ask about that. But I make a declaration. Jesus is Lord. Let's make that together. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Father, we thank you for this time together before your throne this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to hear your voice in our hearts today as you speak to us. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be able, because of the cross, to come before your throne boldly. Thank you, Father, for imparting your word to us, one moment at a time, one word at a time, one decision at a time. Thank you so much, Father, for being a praise in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to talk about a question today. You know, some of the best messages that I've ever had God put in my heart for me are questions. And he doesn't answer them. He expects me to answer them. So this is a question today. Where is your confidence? Where is it? You even know what it is. Well, I almost didn't use that picture. I thought about it and I took it off and I put it on and I looked at it. But the more I looked at it, the more I thought, that says it all. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Psalm 23, verse 4. That was David's declaration. I will fear no evil. I think, what stupid, idiotic parent would allow that to happen? Who would have a pet like that? Well, there are people that have pets like that. I went on an inspection one time. I had done one in North St. Louis, which is what I didn't want to be. But I've been doing inspections in North St. Louis, and I walked up to this door, and the lady eventually let me in, but she didn't want to. But I come on in, and the first thing I saw was this big old boa constrictor. I said, is that what I think it is? And she said, yes, I don't have many visitors. But there's some odd pets. But that says a lot to me when I looked at it. The more I looked at it, the more I thought of what Jesus said about childlike faith. And when it comes to confidence, that's the way we need to be. Having so much confidence in God and in His Word that we approach all of our problems, no matter how big or great they are, just like that. That's what David did. He wasn't concerned about the lion, was he? Now, I'm assuming he was bigger than that at the time, you know, because he defeated the lion and the bear and eventually Goliath and went on. David's one of my most favorite characters. Well, what is confidence and why is it so important to us? Well, we're going to try to answer that today. Confidence, according to Webster's Dictionary, is a trusting or reliance, an assurance of mind or firm belief in the integrity, stability, veracity of another, or in the truth and reality of a fact. Confidence. Where is your confidence? What do you have confidence in your life? Maybe you never even thought about that. But it's important to know where you are placing your confidence. Notice there's some words there he used. One of them is trusting. Well, some of the synonyms or the words of like kind that you can use where confidence is concerned is trust or faith. Trust and faith and a confidence run together. If you don't have confidence in something, you're not going to trust it. And if you don't trust it, you most certainly can't have faith in it. You know, so they kind of run together. Proverbs 3 in verse 5. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your path or your way of life. If you place your confidence in Him, you're leaning on Him. You lean on Him, you're leaning on His Word. And here I go. If you're leaning on His Word, you're leaning on your love walk. Because they all run together. But if you're leaning on Him, trusting in Him, and are confident in the Lord with all your heart, we need to analyze our steps in our daily life. As those moments of suddenlies that come our way, times of trouble and turmoil come our way, ourselves, why am I approaching this way? Do I really have confidence here in God and His Word? Or have I even thought about that? Have I just run into my problem and start slinging? Most of us do it that way. A suddenly comes our way that's not expected, or just any problem, whether I knew about it or not. Sometimes the last place we go is God and His Word. It's sad to say that about believers. We're supposed to be believing, and it should be the first place we go. But wherever I'm placing my confidence, that's where I'll go first. And I need to realize that. Am I placing my confidence in man, or in the bank, or in my neighbor, or in the military or government? Where am I placing my confidence in this circumstance? Is it really on God and His Word? If it's the last place I go, or I suddenly think about it after the problem's already there, that means I really haven't developed my confidence. If I'm busy developing my confidence in God and His Word, then that's the first place I go. It's the first thing I think about. It's the first thing I do when other people are struggling and they want an answer from me. It's the first thing I think about, because my confidence is in God and His Word. So I lean on, trust in, and am confident in the Lord with all my heart. And notice it says mind there. Why did He separate the two? Because our heart is our spirit. We're spiritually minded. That's what it means. If I'm confident in God, I'm spiritually minded. But by being spiritually minded or heart-minded, then that flows over into my mind. It controls my mind, emotions, and will, because I'm confident in God and His Word. That needs to be something that we ask ourselves every day of our life. Today, am I confident in You, God? When I pray, am I confident? One of my favorite prayers, when I pray, favorite I use to anchor my prayer in, is the one Pastor Terrace used in 1 John 5:14-15, that this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything. If I have confidence in God and His Word, then I'm going to trust that Word above the circumstance. So I need to analyze my way of behavior. How am I approaching this problem? But in all of my ways, that's in the small way. Don't ever come along and say, well, this is a small thing, I can take care of it. No, trust God in the small. And then when you trust Him in those small areas, when the big comes along and those suddenlies you're not prepared for, you're automatically trusting God. It's a habitual lifestyle. That's one of my points. In all your ways, know. Do you know that you can trust God? Do you know that? And what are you basing that knowledge on? Hopefully, you have had some experiences where you had things come up that you trusted God and you saw the Word work in your life. You've experienced it firsthand. But if it never recognized that, and you can simply believe God's Word. And let that be the basis for your trust in Him. In all of your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge Him. And He, when you do that, He will direct and make straight and plain your path. It's important that we realize that when I make these decisions and I trust God, I'm involved in the carrying out of whatever I'm trusting Him for. I have to have confidence in Him and in His Word and walk that way. And then that activates His ability to move in those circumstances. Psalm 31, verse 1a, in You, O Lord, do I put my trust and seek refuge. That needs to be a declaration that we make. And it should be a daily declaration. Today, Lord, I put my trust in You. I trust You, Lord. I had a circumstance happen one day when I was trying to help a guy. He was just talking, and he went all through 20 years of problems and issues. And he always, every time I talk to him, he'd go right back to that same place. And I, close friends, and as he was talking, right in the middle of it, he said, I lost faith in God, I lost trust in myself, and then he stopped. And he said, is that where I missed it, Mike? That's where you missed it, right there. You're going to have to go back and put your hands like this, just as a sign to you. See that problem in your hands. See that circumstance. And lift it up to the Lord and say, I trust you, Lord. And just let it go. And then I'll pick it back up again. And when you do, do the same thing over again. Keep declaring your trust in God. And watch what happens inside your spirit. Watch what happens as you try to make decisions concerning those problems you're facing. Watch revelation start coming. Because you're activating your trust in God. You're facing it. You're facing this major issue, trusting God. And he will lead you through that. It's amazing how he does that and how he brings things to pass around you to walk, help to guide your path as you're walking through that circumstance. We are the ones who decide what and who we have confidence in. It's not just automatic. God just doesn't say, you're confident in me. Boom. He doesn't do that. It's something I have to develop. It's like anything else, really, spiritually. You have to develop it. You develop your love walk. You develop your faith. You develop the word working in your life. You develop your prayer life. And it's done that way by experience, by applying yourself. And confidence is that way. It's the same way with that chair you're sitting in. I noticed nobody come in here and inspected that chair before they sat down, did they? There's certain life we just have confidence in. We just sit down. Now, I've sat down in some chairs I shouldn't have. Now, one of the bad places I've been in, as an adjuster, I've worked a lot of fires. And you never know what's under that floor. And you've got to walk through every part of that structure to inspect it, find out what the damage is, and find out what caused it. And you're walking on what appears to be a good floor. But if that fire was below there, you may or may not have a stable floor. I've been on some roofs adjusting claims that you step on it and pushes in. You know, you think you're going to wind up down in the... That never happened to me, but I know others that have fell through because they trusted in something they thought was there. Well, our trust needs to be established on something, on a rock and not on sand. Jesus had that parable about the house built on the rock and the house built on the sand. Well, that guy that built his house on the sand, he trusted in that, or he wouldn't have built it. He was stupid, wasn't he? But we need to have our house and our faith built on more than just sand. We need to have our faith and our life built solidly on the rock of the Word, and that means we have confidence in it. Confidence we place in various things. We place confidence in the car we drive, our food we eat, our friend, the next breath. Well, none of those are for certain, are they? You may have one of those cars that, well, you had to really pray to get it here. You didn't have much confidence in it. But there was a reason for it, because it's not in good repair. Well, sometimes our life is not in good repair. And what we're placing our trust and confidence in our daily life is not in good repair. A lot of people used to put a lot of trust and faith in the government. Well, it's not there anymore. There's nothing really in life that has not been shaken right now. There's nothing really in the natural that you can absolutely put 100% confidence in. And that's sad to say. I hope I'm a person that somebody can put their confidence in. Now, I know I may fail people. And you'll fail people. I failed my family and didn't know I did it. And I'm sure you have too. But there was a confidence placed in me. Like that little girl there. It's already gone, but you remember the little girl? She had placed her confidence in something in order to be able to go out there the way she did. Now hopefully, there was some confidence in that condition of that lion that the parents had. But whatever, we need confidence in our daily life and the things that we approach in our daily life. And I tell you what, sometimes things look like they're not something I cannot put confidence in because of past history or for whatever, or something I've been taught or experiences I know other people have had. But I can sometimes, as the Lord leads me, place confidence in things that I should would ordinarily not place confidence in. Because God already knows the stability of that person or that circumstance. A guy that's had a long life in jail and he finally gets born again and delivered and set free, he loves God. He's not the same person. Well, he's let out. Well, people remember that he was in there and not the fact that he come out of there. And that God's confidence will have to be developed there. Is he someone you can place confidence in? If he truly got born again and he's doing what he says and what God is doing in his life, yes, you can put confidence in there. But we're not as apt to do it right off. Sometimes we need to be led by the Holy Spirit as to where, all the time we do, as to where to put our confidence. And sometimes we'll put confidence in something that does not appear to be something that we would normally want to put confidence in. We have confidence, the parachutist, he has to have confidence in his parachute. Now, I don't have that kind of confidence. Okay, it's a piece of cloth to me. And you're at the mercy of the person to put it back together. And you don't know what that is till you get out there, and then it's too late. The other one that really fascinates me is these rock climbers. I was watching a show the other day, and I thought of brought to my mind as I was doing this message. This people were going for a day and a half underground. They were going way down there. They were crawling, and they come up this place, there's three of them, at a long, steep incline here. Well, all he had was this little hook he put in a rock, and there's three of them hooked together. Well, that's a lot of confidence in a little metal hook and a rope. Well, what happened halfway down, the first guy slipped, and it was such an intense incline that they all started sliding. And when it got to that hook, the hook came out. Now all three of them are going down this thing with nothing to hang on to. Well, the last guy up there stuck his foot in a hole and caught them all. Two of them were just hanging in air like that. And the other one, it was just a movie, it was a show, TV, it wasn't real. I was a stuntman. But it could have been. And the guy had his foot in that hole. He broke his leg, tore his tendons in his leg, but he held those two on that rope till they got over there and got hooked back up. And all this time, this rope is sliding through his hands, you know, burning his hands. He was trustworthy, okay? But he had limits, didn't he? He come out with a broken leg, and he couldn't go on. But that's the kind of confidence we need to have in God. He's not going to slip. And if we do, he's going to hold us. That person was trustworthy. I don't know if I would have thought to do that going down. But we have that mountain climber has to have confidence in that hook or in someone. We have confidence in the cross, the blood of Jesus, and the word of God. If someone was to ask you or to ask me if we trusted and have confidence in God and the word, we would probably say yes. Most of us here would. We'd say, I trust God. I have confidence in him. But if we're honest with ourselves, I think we would be amazed at how little confidence we really do have. As I mentioned earlier, how we approach our problems is the gauge for how much confidence we have in God. And many of us never think about it. Like I said, you didn't think of sitting in that chair. We just believe that confidence is automatic. I pray every day. I love the Lord. But then when the big issue comes, do I have confidence in God and his word? Confidence is something that has to be there all the time. It is always easier to tell someone else to have confidence in God than it is to have confidence in God and his word yourself. Have you ever thought of that? It's easy to tell somebody else to do something, but when you're facing it yourself, that makes a big difference in life. Confidence must be developed. We must develop confidence in God and his word before the problems or issues come. Some would say, well, okay, I have confidence in God, and just walk on down the road. Well, it doesn't work that way. I wish it did. It would be very nice if you could just say something and then just go on down the road and let God take care of it. I have confidence in God. Well, that's true, and yes and no. If you have confidence in God, you're involved. I said that earlier. We are involved in everything God does, no matter what it is. When I say I have confidence in God and His Word, I'm involved in whatever God does. I develop it, and I act on it. I maintain that confidence. I anchor myself in the Word the way that guy anchored himself in the rock, except the Word is stronger. But I'm doing something. And as I go through this problem or situation, I still have decisions to make. I still have things to do. He's not going to just go take care of it. He's going to involve me in everything I do. That's why it's so important to watch your love walk, because that's where the power comes. That's where the authority comes from. And watch our confidence in circumstances, because it's related to our love walk. I cannot develop confidence in God without walking in love. They're related, because faith won't work without it. So I need to know that. I cannot just say, okay, I have confidence in God and walking down the road. Our confidence in God and His Word must be full-time, never-ending, continuous, and a habitual lifestyle, no matter what the circumstance comes up. We need to practice our trust and confidence in God and His Word every day and in every circumstance and every situation of life, not just when problems are present. If we wait till the problem arises, we will have a difficult time developing our confidence. It's too late to do it then most of the time. And you're going to go through a much worse problem or issue than if you had developed your confidence before that came. Practice, 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 practice our confidence in God and His living Word continuously. It is the only way we can really be ready when the problems and storms of life come our way. Sometimes we have more confidence in the chair we sit in our government, neighbors, family, friends, church, doctors, and others that are in our everyday life than we do in God and His Word. Again, look at yourself. Ask yourself why I approach this situation the way I do. It's telling you where your confidence is. If we really had the confidence and trust in God and His Word that we say we have, we would respond differently when those problems and issues come. Are you sure that where, what, and who you are placing your confidence in is trustworthy, secure, solid, and faithful? Is it? You don't have to ask that about the Word. It is. But you have to be convinced of that. You have to develop such a relationship with God and His Word that you trust it. And that's your job. God and His Word are always trustworthy, solid, and faithful. God's living Word is absolute truth. This is another picture that I wanted to show. I wasn't going to. But when I looked at that, I see things. Notice this person's hands and the condition of the Bible. That's a well-used Bible. It's one that's been around a while. They have been around a while. I would say this person, however old they are, has developed a relationship. And notice how they're sitting there, their hands on that Bible, between that person and the Word. But that trust and confidence never ends. Throughout their whole life, that person has trusted and had confidence in God. That's where their faith is. That's where their life is. That's where their joy is. Where are we in our life? Can I say that I'm there? I would like to think I am. But it would show in my life that I know I'm not near where I need to be. I would say neither are you. But it's something to place a goal on. Something that I need to strive for. I need to have such a relationship with God that I love His Word. I've come to the place where I declare that all the time. I love your word, Lord. And it developed something in me. I found out a secret in life. Many years ago, especially in a relationship, you better tell your spouse that you love them. The more you do that, the stronger your love relationship will get. It does that in the same way that faith comes by hearing, love comes by speaking as well. Every time I say, Mother, I love you, it updates in me, makes me stronger in that love for her. It's the same way with our Father. The more I come to my Father and I just simply say, Father, I love you. Do you know that's one of the strongest prayers that you can ever pray? What is prayer? Prayer is relationship. That's really what it is. It's a communion between you and the Father. You don't have to have fancy words or big phrases or canned prayers, although that's not bad if you mean them. Sometimes all you need to do is just sit with God and say, I love you. And you know what you'll hear in your own heart? I love you, son. I love you, daughter. Just listen. He desires to say that to us. And what does that do to our confidence? I know my Father loves me. And he can do no wrong where I'm concerned. And if he gave his only son for me, how much more will he give me these little things? You know, it develops so much confidence. It develops confidence in my wife. If she never says it back, that's fine. I'm saying it because I desire it to be built in me. And that's the same way faith is. We need to have faith developed that way. Faith comes by hearing. But what are you hearing? You're hearing the Word of God. That's how confidence is developed in our life. What are you dealing with in your life? What struggles do you have, or maybe your family are having? What scripture is involved in that? Find one and then start declaring it. Make it a daily or more than one time a day, whatever, but make it a habit to declare it. It will continually update in your faith and your trust in God. And you'll wind up developing confidence in that. Because what does the enemy do? He tries to move you away from it. That's his goal. He has to, because if you keep talking that way, it's going to come to pass. It's going to happen because God's word is true. It's absolute. And you're declaring your faith and trust in it. So you're one with him on it. So those angels are peddling around all over the place, bringing that thing to pass. It has a process, and it will develop, and it will come to pass. It's absolute. That's why that prayer, that scripture in 1 John 5:14 and 15 is so important to me. This is the confidence that we have. It develops my confidence. I know that I know that I know that it will happen. And when doubt comes, where do you go to change the doubt? Right there in that word, because you're developing confidence in the word, not confidence in the doubt. You're not developing confidence in the problem. So this particular picture means a lot to me. I study that and look at that. There's a lot in there in this person's life. If we really do have confidence in God and his word, I will trust him in every area of my life. When the big problems or small problems come, do I trust him there? And am I ready and willing to declare it? David knew where to place his confidence. Now, you're going to continuously hear me talk about David because he's one of my favorites. I see me in David, not the king and not all the others, but I see when I look at David's life and how he had problems and how he handled problems, I see a pattern there that I need to pay attention to. I see something that I need to develop in my life. And as you go through the Psalms of David, you see him developing his confidence in God and why he had that kind of confidence. Well, David knew where to place his confidence. It was a habitual lifestyle for David, and that's what I see, a habitual lifestyle. You find him constantly declaring his confidence in God and his word. Then I have to ask myself, do you? Do you, Michael? Do you constantly declare your confidence and trust in God? Like David, many of us have had some troubles and problems in our lives. But while we're, let's take a look through scriptures here and look at some of the ways that, David handled his problems. In Psalm 56:3, these are all amplified, unless I tell you otherwise. What time I am afraid, I will have confidence in and put my trust and reliance in you. Notice he's talking to God. He's speaking it. He's not just thinking it. He says this. What time I am afraid. He's not saying he's not going to be afraid. He knows fear is not from God. So what does he have to do with it? He has to deal with it. He has to take fear and cast it out. And the word says perfect love casts out fear. Perfected love or love under perfection will cast out fear. They don't work. They're not able to work together. They're opposites. And love will always cast out fear, but fear cannot cast out love. Perfect love never fails. So he's saying here, what time I am afraid. Now, did David have opportunities to be afraid? Yes. More than probably we'll ever face in our life. He had a lot of problems in his life, and some of them were his own making, but he had problems. But then he says, I will have. See, he's declaring this. I will have. I'm deciding this. And we need to do it just like he did it. I will have confidence in and put my trust. Confidence in him, in you, Lord. In Psalm 31, we see a little example of, this is actually a prayer of David, Psalm 31 is. But for the sake of time, let's start in verse 9. Have mercy and be gracious unto me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. With grief my eye is weakened, also my inner self and my body. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years in sighing. My strength has failed because of my iniquity. Why did it fail? Because of his iniquity. He's taken account of it. Basically, he's repenting here. Because of my iniquity. And even my bones have wasted away. To all my enemies, I have become a reproach, but especially to my neighbors, and a dread to my acquaintances, who flee from me on the street. I am forgotten like a dead man, and I'm out of mind. Like a broken vessel am I. For I have heard the slander of many. Terror is on every side. While they scheme together against me, they plotted to take my life. Some of you may be able to identify with that at one time in your life, or at least parts of it. I think we've all felt that way, at least, even though it may not be true, we felt that way. Some of us, if we're not facing problems that way, we will, eventually. But notice what verse 14 says, how he handled it. He declared what the circumstances are, but he's dealing with the circumstances in verse 14. But that's one of the most powerful words in the Bible. But I trust in, rely on, and am confident in you, O Lord. I said, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Notice he surrendered everything to the Father. When it says my times are in your hands, it means my very life, my existence, everything I am, everything around me. They are in your hands. He's taking them away from the problems and issues, and he's placing them in God's hands. He's choosing to do that. This next one kind of goes along with that. It's one of my favorite scriptures, and you've heard me say it before, and I'll keep saying it. It's one that I declare in my own life. In Psalm 25, verse 1, unto you, O Lord, do I bring my life. Oh my God, I trust, lean on, rely on, and am confident in you. That is one of my favorite scriptures. Now, the other versions will say, I lift up my soul to you, same thing. And lift up is the same basic thing as bringing your life to him. I like that. Because when I think about a life, I think about everything, that person. From the time he's born till the time he dies, everything that's involved in a person's life is his life. My now moment, my past moments, my future moments, they're all in that life. And that's basically what he did in Psalm 31, verse 15, when he said, my times are in your hands. He says it again here, unto you, O Lord, do I bring my life. In Psalm 31, verse 5, into your hands I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, the God of truth and faithfulness. Again, you see, he's committing his life to the Father. That's one reason why that he was a man after God's own heart. Because he constantly sought the heart of God. And God was after his heart because of that. So David positioned himself. So many times when problems come, we don't position ourselves for the answer. We expect God to do whatever we need him to do, but we don't position ourselves so he can. We stay the same we've always been. We walk right out and complain about our issues and problems, and we expect him to answer them. We're not positioned for him to. Or we're walking around in unforgiveness. Strife is everywhere around us, but we want God to answer our problems. Well, where strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. That's what the word says. So I'm not doing anything about that. So how can he do something for me? Because I'm not in a place where he can. And it's the same way with confidence. I have to position myself with confidence in God for God to be able to do what he wants to do. If I'm not confident in him, then how can he do it? If I was confident in him, when I walked away from my prayer time, what would I say when that person asked me how I'm doing? The word says. Now, you may not know how it's going to happen. Jesus said, for it is written. You don't say anything at all if you can't say anything positive, but don't sin against your own prayer. Don't abort your prayer. Let your own words and your confidence and your trust line up with what you just asked God to do. Line it up and keep it lined up. Don't let the enemy send somebody to you to move you off in a way. And that's what we do. So he sent somebody to ask a question and we answered him. I'm not doing too well. You just sinned against your own prayer. You aborted it and you don't know you did it. And you get mad at God then because he didn't answer it. You weren't positioned for him to. You were, but then you moved. And it's not God's fault. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my impenetrable shield. My heart trusts in, relies on, and confidently leans on him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their unyielding strength, and he is the stronghold of salvation to me and his anointed. I love to watch David declare things, because that's what he's doing. He's speaking it. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, that the Lord our God is good. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied is the man who trusts and takes refuge in him. Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to trust and take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust and take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. To develop confidence in something, we need to know the way it operates. You know, I need to know that chair is capable of holding me. What does a chair do? How is it built? To some degree, I need to have some knowledge of the item I'm placing my confidence in. And when you buy a car, you see these commercials, they buy a car over the internet. See it flying through the air and then come down and landing. Sure it does. But you don't buy cars that way. You better find out how it operates. If you're going to buy and put money on a car, you need to find out how it operates. It's the same way. Can I put confidence in this? How does it function? What are its limits? You know, most things have limits. God's word does not. But we personally have limits. They might say, and you read contracts, they'll say, we'll do this, 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 and this, but not this. And it's usually in the fine print. So if you don't read that fine print, you're not going to know how far that thing's going to go. It's got limits. So we need to know those things. It's the same way with a person you're developing confidence in. You need to know their ways. In the same way with God and His Word, we need to learn His ways. God will teach us His ways if we ask Him. You know they're not secret. That's what that Bible is. It shows us His love, who He is, who we are, and how to walk in it. It teaches us His ways. And that's what it said in one of those scriptures I had earlier, that He would guide us on our path. He would teach us our path. In Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5, show me. David was another prayer, Psalm 25. Show me your ways, O Lord. Notice he's asking for it. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths or your way of life. Guide me in your truth and faithfulness and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you only and altogether do I wait expectantly all the day long. Michael, I can't sit here all day and wait. I got work to do. That's not what it means. It means you're in an attitude of expectancy. Not only have you asked for it, it means that you're expecting it. You know it will happen, and you know that there's a process here taking place where it's going to be granted. There's a process. So I'm waiting for the fulfillment of this process. I know it will happen. I have it right now, but there's a process here bringing it to pass. Psalm 25, verse 8, good and upright is the Lord, therefore He will instruct sinners in His way. He leads the humble in what is right, and the humble He teaches His way. Notice He said sinners in His way. God won't teach a sinner His way. Well, how else are you going to come to know the Lord? He most certainly will. He teaches sinners His ways by watching your ways. You're supposed to be teaching as you walk through your daily life. Not verbally, but in your manner of life. When you have confidence in God and His Word, people are going to notice that. They're going to want that. They're going to want to know why you have such confidence in God. What are you basing it on? Well, that's a perfect opportunity to tell them. Others won't ask, but they'll notice. So He's constantly teaching sinners His way. He wants to. He wants to teach people His ways. And that's what we are about. Psalm 25, verse 12, who is the man who reverently fears and worships the Lord? I like to say that's me. That's me. You're asking a question, I'm going to qualify here. Him or that person. That person, him shall he teach in the way that he should choose. Oh, I like that. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a problem and didn't know what choices to make, that I took that scripture and say, Lord, your word says that you will teach me how to choose. Now, I'm asking you to teach me. And then expect him to. It may not be at that moment, but you're walking down doing something totally different. Not even thinking about it. All of a sudden, a thought comes. I know what I'll do. Where do you think that come from? Come from the Holy Spirit. You finally got in a place where you could hear. So, who is the man who reverently fears and worships the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he should choose. He himself shall dwell at ease. And his offspring, here's a promise for your children. And his offspring shall inherit the land. The secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who fear, revere, and worship him. And he will show them his covenant and reveal to them its deep inner meaning. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. David expected that. He didn't say he wouldn't get his foot caught. He said when he did, the Lord would get him out. That was his confidence. No matter what the circumstances are, my Father's taking care of me. And that needs to be our attitude. Psalm 32, verse 5. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, continually unfolding the past till all is told. Then you instantly forgave me the guilt and iniquity of my sin. Notice he said instantly. Selah. Pause and calmly think of that. We need to meditate on that. Verse 6. For this forgiveness, let everyone who is godly pray. Pray to you in a time when you are to be may be found. Surely, when the great waters of trial overflow, they shall not reach the Spirit in him. The Spirit is going to be higher on a higher rock than your problems. Verse 7, you are my hiding place. You, Lord, preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs and shouts of deliverance. Selah, pause and calmly think of that. I love this next verse. Why do I like it? Two different people here. David asked for forgiveness. He received the forgiveness. Then he made a declaration in verse 7. Verse 8, the Lord speaks back to him because David positioned himself. So he says in 7, you are a hiding place for me. You, Lord, preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs and shouts of deliverance. Then David meditates on that. Then the Lord says, I, the Lord, will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. I can't tell you how much I've used that too. And I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it. But it works only when you position yourself. His eye is constantly upon you. But you have to place yourself in a position for him to move. He wants to reveal. He's not holding anything back. He holds nothing back. That's why the cross was there. He wants to flood us with his revelation and knowledge and provision. There's no such thing as an impossible problem. All things are possible to him that believes. What is a believer? He places confidence. A believer is someone that's confident. He's confident in God and his word. So, David did that here. Now remember, and one thing that really excites me is I see David pre-cross. This is a man that knew God and sought God with all of his heart. But he did not have the Holy Spirit inside because the cross hadn't happened. Pre-cross. He didn't have near what you and I have. Not even close. We have the revelation of God, the very Spirit of God himself living in us, wanting to bring this forth. We have so much more than David ever had. Yes, he was king. If we don't take lessons from a man like David, we won't even get to first base. We need to look at people like this and say, okay, I should be that way. Right where I am now, living now, I call this up in my life. This is a desire we need to have and to ask ourselves why I don't have it when the people pre-cross did. And anybody could have been. It wasn't that David had something. He did have something special, but because he put himself there for him to become special. There wasn't anybody could have done that, done what David did. And there's many that did. If they could pre-cross, we most certainly can post-cross because of he who lives within us. There is a greater is he that lives in me than he that is in the world. Psalm 32:10. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in, relies on, and confidently leans on the Lord shall be compassed about with mercy and with loving kindness. Compassed about because I trust. Sometimes take time to go through Psalm 27. It's another one that David declares his trust in God. Proverbs 3:13, happy, blessed, fortunate, enviable is the man who finds skillful and godly wisdom, the man who gets understanding, drawing it from God's word and life's experiences. Like a well, draw the water forth from God's word. Proverbs 3:26, for the Lord shall be your confidence, firm, strong, and shall keep your foot from being caught in a trap or some hidden danger. And I'll read this one and then we'll close. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, since we have full freedom and confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies by the power and the virtue in the blood of Jesus, by this fresh, new, and living way, which he initiated and dedicated and opened for us, through the separating curtain, the veil of the Holy of Holies, that is, through his flesh or on the cross. And since we have such a great and wonderful and noble priest who rules over the house of God, let us all come forward and draw near with the true and honest, sincere hearts in unqualified assurance and absolute conviction engendered by faith, by that leaning of the entire human personality on God, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, having our hearts sprinkled and purified from a guilt, evil conscience, and our bodies cleansed with pure water. Let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it. For he who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to his word. You know, we need to settle some things with God, don't we? I pray that each of us and those who are watching on Facebook or get this in the future or through our lives will learn to look at how we handle things and we'll learn to allow God to tell us how we need to change things, to position ourselves and be committed to our life and to a life with him and developing confidence. If you do not develop confidence, you cannot have faith. And if you do not walk in love, your faith won't work. So these are something we all need to work on. Shauna, would you do something for me? Would you close for us today? That was on my heart earlier, so okay. It must be the Lord. So.
Father, I thank you so much. I come before you, and I just so thankful for your presence today. I thank you for what you are doing in our hearts and in our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, ministering to each one of us through your word.
Amen.
Father, you are so good, and I'm so grateful.
Amen.
I'm so grateful to be in a place where we can all share and partake of your spirit as one together, in fellowship
Amen.
Together, in spirit and in truth. Oh,
Amen.
What a blessing, God. You are
Thank
so
you,
good.
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for pouring out your love
Amen.
On us
Amen.
And for binding us in a unity of love.
Amen.
We're just so grateful to you. Father, I pray that your spirit would go with us, that we would have church all throughout the week.
Amen.
That your presence would stay with us, even as we were worshiping today. That was my purpose, is that your presence would go with me everywhere.
Amen.
That I would just be so aware of your presence, your
Amen.
Tangible presence even, Father God. So because your presence is our greatest weapon.
Yes.
And Lord, just knowing that you
Amen.
Are with us.
Amen.
Oh, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
There's no better place. There's nowhere we couldn't go knowing that you are right there with us.
Amen.
And the world needs your presence. So, Father, I pray that you would just anoint us with your presence as we leave this place, that it would go everywhere that we go. Amen. And that you would teach us, like the word just spoke, that you would teach us your ways, that Amen. We would be so aware of what you are teaching us, that the world's ways would just diminish and exit Amen. Our minds, Amen. And we would be focused
Thank
completely
you, Lord.
On what you are teaching
Thank you,
us. Thank you for being a good, good Father.
Amen.
Thank you. We love you. We worship
Amen.
You. We praise you. And we give you all the
Thank
glory
you, Lord.
And the
Amen.
Honor and the praise
Amen.
Due to your holy name. In Amen. Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.